Okay, how about an hour of phone calls with Nicole Sebastian as we talk about dreams and dream interpretations? That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Nicole Sebastian with us. Nicole, how reliable are dreams?
Ooh, 110% if interpreted accurately.
Okay, now that is a paradox, isn't it?
How so, George?
Well, what if somebody is not a good interpreter?
Well, we can give them a three-step technique right now that'll help.
Okay.
Yeah. When you wake up, you journal whatever you remember, you know, at one sentence or a paragraph or a couple symbols. And the more you do that, the more will be revealed to you each night. But back to the three-step process. When you have a dream symbol, it's best to use word association. When maybe water's in your dream, what does water mean to the dreamer? Maybe it means fun and exhilaration because they love to scuba.
Sure.
Maybe they almost drowned a month ago, and so it represents fear. You know, this type of thing. Word association with the symbols, and asking yourself, what's going on in my life right now? And with those two pieces of information, you'll be able to decode your dream effortlessly.
How many people have prophetic dreams of events?
I believe we all do. That's been my experience, personally and professionally, and working with clients, is everyone I've worked with has experienced dreams of prophecy. If tracked, and that's how you'll know, if you write it down and then you review your journal every 3 to 6 months, therein lies the proof, George.
Well, the journal's critical, it sounds.
Oh, it is, and the tracking, the reviewing every 3 to 6 months, essential. If you're serious about this, and it's the most reliable source of information I have found because it forewarns you. I call it your personal GPS. You know, anything you want to know, go ask. You'll have a dream. There's your answer.
Good point. Let's go to the phones. We'll go west of the Rockies to start. Lindy in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Lindy. Go ahead.
Hello. I'm so excited to be on. I've never gotten through before.
Well, wonderful. Your dreams have come true.
Oh, yes. Anyway, my question is before I was on medication, I used to remember most of my dreams. And since I've been on medication, they seem like real clouded over, like I can't really get a connection with them. And I can't really remember any of them very recently at all. And was wondering if medication can interfere with your ability and how do you get around that?
Hello, hello. Absolutely. You're right on the money. Medication does muddy the waters, if you will. It does prevent dream recall and whatnot. And the way to get around it is to, when you lay down, you intention to remember and start hewing. 1 to 5 minutes when you lay down, you can do it out loud or silently, whichever is most comfortable for you. And by the third night, you will begin to remember your dreams, and it's just going to go from there.
How important is intention?
Oh, I think it's everything, George. Whether we intend to be, you know, successful at our career or whether we intend to remember our dream that night, I think intention really promotes the outcome.
Okay, back to the phones. Grant Park, Illinois. Robert, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Well, I had some dreams, and like a preacher said, I'll have dreams and visions. And I did. I had one vision, but it was kind of weird.
What happened?
I was seeing a young man like myself. I had black pants on, no shoes, no socks, no shirt. And I was going up to a throne to hand in a denomination of money. And then I looked and I thought I was giving it to myself. All right, that was one dream. But the first one was really weird. It was, I was driving in, like my dad used to have, a Plymouth Fury.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same car we were driving in. And there was I was in a passenger seat, and the driver was like, he had like a lion head. and his eyes were like really weird. You know what I'm saying? They're like they were lighting up.
The driver did.
Yeah.
What's that mean, Nicole?
This is beautiful. First, the first dream you mentioned, I just wanted to put a little Nicole twist on it, if I may, and that's you need to reward yourself. In the dream, you were giving yourself money. I think that's one of the simplest ways a dream can show self-appreciation, reward, this type of thing. That's dream number one. Dream number two, the answer lies within the type of car, Fury. It came in furious. Fury, to be backed up by the lion head and the eyes. And it was letting you know, and the lion was driving the vehicle, which means your emotions at that time, maybe not now, but at that time of the dream, your emotions, hence the lion head, the eyes, and the fury, you were in a fury, okay? Allowing those things to control you.
Now, how do you interpret it like this, Nicole? I mean, training?
Years, George. Years of doing it and working with all kinds of people. So you've heard it, a lot of different dreams by that point. Working with your own, tracking them, allows you to fine-tune the art, if you will. And I found that often they're literal, like the fury, the car fury. You know, let me give you a quick other story. I had a dream, and in the dream, there were a pair of flip-flops, you know, shoes, flip-flops, and they were sitting on a table in a restaurant. And when I woke up, I knew the message meant I needed to make a decision and quit flip-flopping. So often your symbol, this is perfect because it's a good point to make, often your symbol is literal, flip-flop, fury and rage, this type of thing. So that's another way you can view your dreams for interpretation.
Are certain people more prone to nightmares, Nicole?
I believe that the more unsettled one is in one's life, the more nightmares you're going to have.
The more unsettled they are.
Yeah.
If they've got their act together, probably not.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
Let's go to Skype. We'll go to Lehi, Utah. Robin's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Robin. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hello.
Hey, I'm an insider.
All right. Member of the club.
All right. Well, I haven't really been listening tonight, but I had a story I wanted to tell you.
Sure.
And ironically, it has to do with dreams. So I just heard it. Anyways, well, I had a cat when I was like a little bit younger, and I had him for 10 years, and he was really special to me. And he died kind of
suddenly, huh?
Suddenly,
yeah.
After 10 years, yeah. And the interesting thing is, probably about a week after he died, I had a dream about him, and he told me in the dream that he had to go now, and I thought that was kind of strange. And then the next night. It was the night after I had the dream. The next morning, I actually was laying in my bed, and I have two cats, and I had the one that was still alive and the one had died, and I was laying in my bed, and I felt him walk up my bed and lay down next to me like he used to kind of flop down next to me, and I would rub him as I was waking up in the morning.
Did you see him or imprints of him?
No, I still had my eyes closed. I was kind of in that half waking state.
Okay.
And I was laying there, and I was and I thought to myself, this must be my other cat, because they kind of had different feelings. My cat that's still alive had more of a cottony feeling, and he had more of a silky feeling. And I was thinking to myself, this must be my other cat. And so I laid there and stroked him for a minute. And then, as I woke up, I opened my eyes expecting to see my other cat that was still alive. And as I looked, there was no cat there at all.
Not at all. And let's find out from you, Nicole, what does it mean when someone dreams of a departed animal?
It's in one of our books. We call it connecting.
What connecting?
And it's connecting with deceased loved ones, be they human or animal, and that's exactly what happened. What a gift to actually connect with a deceased loved one in the dream state. See, when we die, the physical body, does its thing, but soul energy, I believe soul is nothing but energy, and energy can neither be created nor destroyed, and it just goes on to other dimensions and whatnot, which is why we're able to connect with deceased loved ones in the dream state. We can actually set up a connecting dream, or it will happen at random, as it did for your listener here. Additionally, the cat really, my belief, George, the cat really did come to visit her, and she was actually connecting.
Oh, sure.
Not just
no
in the
doubt.
Dream state, but then in the physical, where she thought it was the other cat, because no way could it be the one cat, but then it actually was the deceased, kitty. There on the bed with her, and what a precious gift.
I can't tell you how many people have called us about seeing their departed ones in their dream state. There's like a communication system in there.
Totally. And, the bond of love is stronger than death, and that's how we can still connect. And here's the technique. If anyone wants to connect, they lay down, they conjure up a fond, loving memory of the deceased. They do several hues, and they ask to be connected. Again, step one, hue. Step two, conjure up a fond, loving memory. And step three, ask to be connected with the deceased loved one. And you'll have a dream, and you'll receive some sort of message or benefit or peace or serenity. Something, you'll benefit in some way.
Let's go to first-time caller Justin, truck driving in Nebraska. Hi, Justin. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, George.
Hi.
Long-time listener, big fan of the show.
Thank you, Justin.
And I drive truck for a living, and you guys kind of keep us awake through the night. And this episode tonight really kind of got me with the dreams. I got a might be a pretty unique question here. Mine's kind of about sleepwalking. And what it is when I was 16, I'm 36 now. I grew up in an old Victorian style house, two-story, and earlier in the day, I'd been helping my dad up on our roof, and we had a balcony area, and anyways, when we got done with doing the work, we had a stepladder on the balcony, and my dad said, to put everything away, and I took everything back out to the shed, whatever. Well, later that night, I went to sleep, and I had this dream. I had an old hot rod I was working on, and I was just dreaming about this hot rod and things I needed to do to it and kind of driving it and whatever. And well, anyways, when I woke up in the morning, I went to get out of bed, and my feet were all muddy, I was like, what the heck? I happened to pass down the hallway, and there was mud going down the hallway, and there was the ladder up on the balcony, back up on the balcony. And so basically I had sleptwalked out, clear out to the outbuilding in the shed, got the ladder, brought it up onto the balcony, and had put it back up there. And I guess my question is okay, if people sleepwalk, and like I did,
mm-hmm.
I was dreaming about something completely different that had nothing to do with what I was doing. If you're dreaming and you're dreaming about one thing, who's in charge of your body when you're sleepwalking and doing, random things like that?
I think your eyes are awake generally when you're sleepwalking. Your mind takes over. It's like driving a car, and you correct us here, Nicole, but I think it's like driving a car from point A to point B, and you might not remember how you got there, but you got there. Safely, if a car had cut in front of you, you would have reacted. I think your body takes over. Is that the same way in his case?
Yeah, George, I think you're on the money there. The body does take over, and soul runs the show in accordance with the physical, in terms of like the driving you were speaking of. Simply, you were soul traveling, which is why you don't recall the actual driving down the road, but the body handled it perfectly. As well as the sleepwalking, we all have a mechanism within our body that while we dream, we're not supposed to be out of the bed walking around. You had a busy evening, Justin.
Can somebody who's sleepwalking fall down the steps or get hit by a car? Or again, do their bodies control that?
I haven't heard of any horrific cases of the sleepwalking with awful things happening to them. So I would hope that soul and the body working in harmony, you know, would avoid any such atrocity. And one other thing I wanted to mention in terms of, you know, you had the dream, the listener had the dream and was also sleepwalking. They probably weren't simultaneous. When we have a dream, it seems like it goes on and on. But when they record dreams, sometimes they only last 30 seconds. And so you were probably sleepwalking at a different time during the night than you were having that other dream of the other event.
I think next hour, when I'm taking my open line calls, Nicole, I might open up a special hotline for sleepwalkers.
Hey, cool.
Now, do people who sleepwalk remember themselves sleepwalking?
Typically not. Typically not.
Somebody's got to tell them.
Yeah, someone else in the household says, hey, do you know what you did last night, or do you remember this type of thing?
People literally get up and do their thing, right?
They do. They do.
Remarkable. Let's go to Margarita in Santa Paula, California. Hi there, Margarita.
Hi, George. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Well, I have had a dream for maybe a year or two about children, and it involves maybe several children or maybe one. And I've told myself I'm going to remember exactly what it is, because I wake up thinking, hey, there was that dream again about kids or one child or two. And the last thing I remember from the last dream was I was holding her next to me, and she was smiling, and we were laughing, having a good time, and all of a sudden, like, she disappeared, and it's just weird because it leaves me wondering, is that my inner child, or is it some other part of some other existence, or what is that?
Well, you know best what that was, hence trust yourself. However, the key question is, what was going on at the time of that dream? You know, were you feeling abandoned in some way? Were you perhaps not engaging in your disciplines? Were you disrespecting yourself in some way? You know, that those types of questions lead you quickly to the answer of, was it my inner child, you know, or was it something else type of thing? And if you're still uncertain, you can even ask the next night when you go to sleep about the dream you had the night before.
And write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with us. Nicole Sebastian, our guest, will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. One final half hour to go here with your calls and dreams as she interprets your dreams as well. Websites all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And let me tell you, there's nothing more powerful than dreaming something and it comes true. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, next hour, it'll be open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. And when we come back with Nicole Sebastian, we'll take final phone calls on dreams on Coast to Coast AM. Nicole, during the break, I got an email from one of our listeners whose husband died at a wedding for a grandson, and he continues to visit her in her dream state. She wants to know how long it'll continue. What would make him stop? Not that she wants him to. But will he stop?
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, I view it as a gift. Again, you know, like you mentioned, not that she wants him to stop. If, in fact, she does, then all she needs to do is ask. And because within the asking and the intention, that person is not allowed to violate her spiritual space. So if she does want it to end because it's too much turmoil, then simply ask. But if not, you know, I imagine there's just a lot of love going on there and a lot of good messages of serenity and peace and maybe even guidance. And it's a beautiful thing.
She wants to know, when does he go to the light?
I think he's already there, George.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go next to Dale in Montana. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, Dale.
Good evening, Nicole. You It's right? been many years since I have practiced that. I learned it through the study of the ancient spiritual study of Ekankar.
Right on.
Uh-huh. And I remember as a child, I used to dream all the time and leave my body. I would fly a lot. And I would fly up and around our house and our property and look at my body. And I could see our property and what things were going on. And as I, of course, grew older, this is my opinion, I believe it to be true, the mind, my mind, got clouded with worldly things, and I didn't keep up on, you know, and I didn't know anything about, at that time, the study of healing and et cetera. And so I lost that. And then I, you know, about 25 years ago, my ex-wife and I ran into and started studying together the ancient teachings of Ekankar and healing. And we were with a group, and we had a wonderful group and everything. And I, then we ended up getting a divorce, and I've got, and I got away from it, and I ended up in an automobile accident, and you know, anyway, went through a personal life crisis myself, and I'm just now getting back into it.
Well, good for you. What frequency is the hewing, Nicole?
Your own pitch is perfect. And you can also play with it. You know, you can spell the hue, H-U. You can do it out loud, hue. You can whisper it, hue. Or you can think it. The central nervous system doesn't know the difference between something real or imagined and will respond accordingly.
Again, though, what is it about the hueing that kind of tunes you into your dreams?
It clears the clutter. It allows you to tap. It turns the volume up on your higher self or soul, depending on what word people like, God, soul, higher self. It turns the volume up. It clears the clutter. It allows the central nervous system to mellow, to settle down, and it increases that frequency that the dreams come in on.
Have you ever had a circumstance when you were training someone or talking to someone about their dream state where they really were terrified? Beyond night terrors, I mean, just truly, truly falling apart.
Yes, actually. Several clients, as a matter of fact, come to mind real quick. But simply, can I just say, George, that hue, once we get them hewing, it puts everything in check. It puts a muffler on everything negative. It amplifies everything positive. And keep with the practice, you know,
sure,
every night,
sure,
even just a little bit, and you'll notice the results through your own experience.
Okay, let's go to Dallas, Texas. Robina, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hello.
Hey, go ahead.
Okay, it's kind of funny because, like, you know, it's been a long time I've heard your show because, I mean, like, I just graduated high school and I started college, so I was super busy, but today I was like, no, what's going on with Coast to Coast? So, like, I just, like, tuned in. I was so surprised because I'm a very vivid dreamer. I dream pretty much every night, and like every morning I remember it. It's like, you know, like sometimes I don't know what's going on, like why I'm dreaming, what I'm dreaming, and like I don't know what's going on. But the one thing that I want to ask Nicole is, this one time I was asleep and I like turned around in my bed, and I don't know if I was awake. I don't think I was awake. It was like that stage between dream and
uh-huh,
like, you know, awakeness, and I saw this tall black figure walking towards me, and I kind of raised off the bed, and I was like, you know, just stop. And it stopped, but it was tall, and it was black, and it was looking down at me, and it just stopped, though. And I turned back around, and I went to sleep, and the next morning I woke up, and I remembered it. And I, like, could not, like, decide whether I was awake or not. And, like, aside from that, too, like, I've had that tall figure with, like, red eyes and, like, China bone, like, you know, white kind of face, like looking at me in my dreams, like
I'm not sure, Rabina, it's a dream, Nicole. This is more like a shadow person episode or some kind of visitation. Doesn't sound like a dream to me. Does it to you?
I'm with you, George. I've had my own experiences such as that. And I have a key question to ask the listener. And that's, did you have a feeling of serenity or of fear or harm when you saw the figure?
Like, every time I've seen, like, you know, different versions of him, every time it's been something very evil. Like, it's never good.
Okay. Now, A, we don't want to give that too much attention. And B, if you want, you have free will, but I would invite you to cue at night before you go to bed to build up the spiritual insulation, the peace and the serenity, so nothing can harm you.
And again, you do it for about a minute?
A minute to five, and you'll probably fall asleep. But usually it's great for insomnia. Puts you right out.
So you can do it while you're just on your pillow, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go next to, who's up? David is, truck driving in Alabama, east of the Rockies. David, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, Nicole.
Hi.
I'm not a Coast Insider, but I've been listening since 2000.
Good for you. Thank you.
And I have... It's like my mind and spirit has been opened. I have had out-of-body experiences. In fact, there's a funny story. My very first out-of-body experience, I was talking to my godmother, and I was saying, look, you know, I said I had this out-of-body experience. I was living in an apartment complex at the time, you know, and I was describing to her how I was able to fly and how I was able to get propulsion, that I would pedal my feet like a bicycle, you know? And so I went on and told her about it. And then I said, you know it was a true out-of-body experience because I heard on Coast to Coast that, you know, the guy said that when you come back into your body, that your body will be cold, you'll be sweaty, and you'll be extremely hungry. And she said, it's because of all that bicycle pedaling you were doing. And she got me on that. And I just looked at her. I didn't know what to say after that. And I laughed like you did, but I've had, let's see, about 10 or 12 years ago, these two dreams are interconnected. You'll see how. About 10 or 12 years ago, I started having dreams that I could fly, you know, like just soar through the air like a bird.
Sure.
You know, and I would like tuck my hands up under my shoulder, up under my armpits and flap them like a bird, and that I could control how fast or how high I wanted to go, you know, by the way I, you know, move my body and how flap. And when I came back, when I woke up and got ready for work, and I had a sense of that I could accomplish anything, that nothing was without of my reach, you know, and I really felt empowered. Okay. Now about 7 years ago, I started having these dreams, and it's not really a nightmare, but it's just unsettling, highly unsettling. Because I started having these dreams of that I would get on an elevator, just any building. I would walk into a building, I'd get on an elevator, and the numbers, you know, the floor numbers on the elevator control panel, I don't think are really important, because I would just choose a number, like, say, floor 76. I punch 76, so I'm standing there, you know, I'm riding the elevator up. Nobody else gets on. I'm riding up and I'm watching the numbers, you know, go 67, 68, 69. And the elevator I would expect it to stop and let me off on 76. Well, when I got to 76, it didn't stop.
It kept going.
All of a sudden it would start speeding up. And I'd be like, oh my God. And I'd start getting scared and the elevator would explode through the roof of the building.
Oh no.
It would go out and it would, and up. Like seconds before I crashed, I know that, look, I'm going to be killed. This is the end. And it would. It would kill me and I would end. And, you know, I could see people come running to check the elevator to try to get the doors open. Now, here's the clincher and here's what bothers me. It's also the elevator dream, but ever since I've been having the elevator dreams since about 7 years ago, I still am having my dreams of that I can fly, but the elevator dreams, I have them about twice a year. And ever since I started the elevator dreams, my dreams of that I could fly, I used to have them like, you know, at least once a month. And ever since I started having the elevator dreams, my dreams that I could fly have subsided down to maybe once a year.
Okay, I don't know about that, but Nicole, what the heck is the elevator dream?
I think it's another form of the flying dream, and I think both are based on soul travel, actually.
But what about this fear of death?
Well, we all have a fear of death, even if we're unaware, even if it's a subconscious fear of death. But and the fact that he's, like, blowing the roof off, I see that as a great dream symbol. Absolutely.
In what way?
Limitless. Limitless, George. You know, there's no limit. And if he wants to bring those other dreams back, the flying and whatnot, do a few hues, program the dream before you go to sleep, intention, tonight I'm going to fly, tonight I'm going to soul travel, this type of thing, and those dreams should pick back up for you.
Let's go to Windsor, Ontario in Canada, right across from Detroit. Alec is with us. Hey, Alex, go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie.
Good morning.
I'm 49 years old, and since age 6, I've been having a dream on a particular day, which is the 11th of August, until my present age right now. The dream is I'm standing, I'm looking into a hill. Everything is destroyed, burning. There's smoke coming out. But the interesting part of it is I have one snake on my right shoulder, one snake on my left. And should I choose not to look at the view of destruction, the snake's eyes turn golden in color and they hiss at me. And this is a recurring dream every year on the 11th of August. And I've tried to stay up several times on the 11th of August for 3 years ago, 4 years ago. It happens on the 12th, but I'll have it and it disappears. What are your thoughts on that, Nicole?
Holy moly. Let me ask you a question. Are the snakes identical or are they different?
They're identical.
The golden eyes, but they hiss at you. This is very interesting. Golden, that's one of the higher colors, one of the more spiritual, if you will, your yellows, your purples, your blues, your whites, and your golds. So the fact that they have golden eyes is a really good sign. The fact that they're hissing, I would say it's trying to get your attention. And if you've ever heard of, you know, the Kundalini, it's represented by the snake and whatnot, and it's spiritual unfoldment or spiritual evolution. So I think those are very high spiritual dreams. Now, this year on August 11th or 12th, when it occurs, be prepared to track it, to journal it, and to ask the question the following night, what is that dream trying to tell me? You'll have another dream. It'll have a slightly different twist with the same meaning. So you can go at it from that direction and thereby decode your dream accurately.
Nicole, why'd you want to know if the snakes were the same color?
If they were different, then I'm looking at the light and the dark. I'm looking at the good and the bad. The
yin,
you know,
and the yang.
Well, you got it. Yeah. And if they were the same, you know, that's why I asked that question.
Let's go to Tara in Portland, Oregon, first time caller. Hi, Tara, go ahead.
Hi. I was starting to think nobody wanted to hear what I had to talk about. Well, mine's not a reoccurring dream. It was just something that happened last night or this morning, whichever time I had it, and it was really, really freaky. I woke up and told my boyfriend about it, like, right away. I was in an office building of some sort, and I've never seen it before, so it's no place I've ever actually been to. And I was watching the news, and I recognized the area in which I was at. There was police around the building. And I said, wait a minute, that's like the building that I'm in. And I looked out the window and I could see the police from, you know, where they were. There's probably about 15 cop cars. And so I continue to watch the news because I was kind of scared, you know, in the dream going, okay, what's going on here? So I'm watching and it looks like they were going after somebody who was like a terrorist or something. They were trying to grab the guy and they had gone in. And when they were coming out, the guy had like, he was like full of electricity of some sort. Like he was either harming himself on purpose or he was doing something, but they were anyone that was holding on to him was getting electrocuted.
Hmm.
And on the news, you would think, well, they didn't mean to capture all this, the part that I'm going to get to. You wouldn't think that the news would actually show it, but they instead in slow motion recapped what I had seen. their heads were exploding.
Oh, jeez.
Their eyes were coming out of their heads. Like,
what a dream.
And I was just disgusted. Like, I can't believe the news is doing this. And they said, well, let's recap. Like, it was a sports event. So they did it in slow motion.
Frame by frame.
Yeah. So they said, let's recap this. And they, like, went back. And I'm, like, feeling sick. I'm like, I can't believe they're showing this. And they showed it in slow motion of this, the guy's head, the cop's head severed and exploded. And then the eyes came out of another person. I'm like, what is this all about? Like, I've never had a dream like that, ever.
This sounds precognitive. What do you think, Nicole?
Yeah, a couple of things come to mind, George, in addition to that. Several things. One, on the real practical level, it's about watching the news, literally, on the television, and how toxic it is and can be to your state of consciousness. That's a real practical interpretation. Now I'm going to go spiritual. Electricity often represents the Holy Spirit in the form of electricity. And so if you view the dream at that level, it's about how we permeate, because it's interesting that one person with the electricity permeated all the 15 officers, if you will, or all the officers in the close proximity. And it's about how we, in our own state of consciousness, can impact and affect other people close to us, be it good or harmful.
Well, not bad at all. Pretty good interpretations of these dreams, Nicole. Do you travel much?
We do. You know, we travel. We do our workshops and some shows and whatnot, signings and things like that. But everyone can, you know, certainly email me through the website. And I love to hear from everyone. We also have a free newsletter as well.
Okay. And we can get to that with the website, too?
Yeah.
And give that out one more time.
Two websites, trustyourself.tv or onemagicword.com.
Okay, thank you, Nicole. When I come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, a couple hours of open lines for you. Anything goes right here on Coast to Coast AM.